Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and I hope you are rocking the house. You know, we have seen a lot of stuff happening, a lot of stuff going on just this week. You know, some of it's great. Some of it's a little concerning. All through the Midwest, they have these storms. We saw the South a week ago, the Midwest now. Let's just keep all of our friends and family in our prayers. You know, anytime you have these floods, and I know this winter we had massive snowstorms up north, so you've got the rivers at their highest already, and now all these extra rains are coming down. And I know in my home state of Missouri, Poplar Bluff, a town that's on a river, had to be evacuated because they were afraid the levee was going to break. So let's just keep all those folks in our prayers. Today we are in chapter 16. I tell you what, I am devouring this book. It's Howard Schultz's book, Onward, How Starbucks Fought for Its Life Without Losing Its Soul. And what makes this book so unique is that I look at Starbucks as probably the most modern-day direct-selling company out there. $10 billion. They have no real advertising campaign, never have. It's all been word-of-mouth marketing. It's all been because they cared about the customer. They cared about their partners. And this book is how they lost a little bit of their direction and started to falter, started to lose focus, and turned it around without losing what they held close, their core values. This is probably, I would classify this one of the best textbooks for direct selling out there, and it has nothing to do with our industry. It has to do with coffee. But the ironic thing is the coffee niche inside direct selling is coming on strong. I believe it will be the next big billion-dollar winner. Chapter 16, Bold Moves. This is the most unique of all chapters, I think, to date, because this is the first time since Howard has come back as the CEO that he has to face the shareholders. It's one thing when you're facing your board. It's one thing when you face your upper echelon leaders, but now you're going to be facing shareholders, some of which are great customers. You're going to be facing partners that have come in. You know, and the fun thing about it, if you read the book, and we'll share this in a minute, is that this shareholder meeting is a lot like Apple's, a lot like Nike's, a lot like actually, it's a lot like conventions that we have in direct selling. So listen as we get on to this. Spring was just around the corner before the chill of March 19, 2008, but the chill of March 19, 2008 held little promise that winter was on its way out. I'd arrived at McCall Hall in the pre-dawn darkness and spent time rehearsing. Now, just minutes before 10 a.m., I was alone backstage thinking. On the other side of the massive curtains, thousands of people were streaming into the auditorium to secure their seats for Starbucks' annual shareholder meeting. In the first few rows was the company's leadership, board members who had flown in from around the country, and members of my family were settling in for the two-hour program. Behind them were row after row, all the way to the far reaches of the auditorium. To the last aisle in the balcony were thousands of shareholders and stock and Starbucks partners. There were people in the rooms, moms, dads with kids, college, or kids in college, retirees, widows, customers who had owned our stock since the day we went public, plus a handful of people who had invested in me back in the 80s. For me, each annual meeting was sort of like an episode of the 1950s TV series, This Is Your Life. This was not just about business. These gatherings were inevitably quite personal. This is where it gets good. Listen, unlike those of other publicly traded companies, Starbucks shareholder events were far from stodgy. They weren't former meetings to elect directors or vote on proposals. I had over the years used them as a brand building opportunity. Because of the company's passionate, because we engage shareholders and customers, they the bass flew in everywhere. Does that not sound like a network marketing convention? Every convention isn't just about nuts and bolts. It's about brand building, and if it's not, it should be. In some cases, so many people flew in that they had to get an overflow room and do it by video. They would bring in large screens. They would bring in performers. It was great. Hired writes, the company's stellar performance had always given us a tailwind to go from each meeting. Remember how we talk in direct selling about going to the next big event, to the next big event, to the next big event? That's what we're talking about right here. See, with Howard, everything was on the upside. Everything was rocking forward. Everything was exciting. But now, for the first time in his life since he started the company, he was going to be facing stockholders, board members. He was going to be facing partners with an inevitable future. Usually we brought out a surprise entertainer whose music had been sold at the Starbucks store. And even though the meeting also had a strategic purpose, in addition to being a brand builder, it also had a force functioning, pushing the company to bring various projects to fruition. The shareholder meeting, just like in a conference in a direct selling company, they show what's coming next. They build to the next year. They get passionate about where they're going. But what happens when that doesn't take place? 2007 was the last convention that Primerica had due to the fact they were owned by Citigroup, and when they prepared for their conference, they were shut out. People thought it was a waste of money. And here Howard is kicking it up and putting it forth. Never had the push been more necessary than in 2008. This year I intended to use the stage to rebuild confidence in our future. We would announce 6 new customer-facing transformation initiatives. Each fell under the 7 big moves that formed the backbone of the transformational agenda. Now, I want to stop a second. On Facebook today, I put up there that I am creating my own personal transformation agenda. I think you ought to buy this book, and you ought to look at where are you at. We're in the second quarter of the first year of the second decade of the 21st century. Have you hit those resolutions you made on January 1? Are you even close to hitting any goals that you've set? Have you gotten sidetracked from the core competency like Starbucks did? These are questions you've got to ask yourself. Howard goes on and writes, backstage, I felt anxious. This was the first time that the company's earnings, as well as our share price, was lower. The stock was down 44% than the same time last year. Starbucks was crashing, and shareholders had a right to be disappointed, given our uncharacteristic dismal performance. I could not predict the audience reception. Man, you talk about stage fright. Here he is coming back on the scene, having this is like a big time deal here. All these people here, thousands of people have shown up to say, what in the Sam Hill is going on, and what are you going to do to fix it? But this is where it gets good. He said, my refusal to stick to a script that day made some of our people nervous. Anything that was said on stage could be picked up by the journalists and the bloggers in the audience and plopped online immediately. But my rationale was simple. I wanted to react naturally. Whether I was greeted with contempt or kindness, letting my words flow according to the mood rather than some teleprompter was feeding me. That's important. See, Howard walks his walk. I was on actually it was Ustream last week where he did a webinar, and I got to listen to him live. This man walks his walk. I'm a proud stockholder, I'll tell you, but what I've gleaned from him is how to run my own business. It's also helped me in consulting with other companies because I can look and see where they need to tweak things. Most businesses, it's not about some huge thing. It's about the little things, and that's what Howard talked about in the first 15 chapters. But here's how it works. If you've never been in a shareholders meeting, listen. A female's voice filled the quieting auditorium. This meeting is hereby called to order, and the Inspector of Elections has advised us that we have a quorum. She read the required disclaimer statement that begins all shareholder events, and for a split second, as I do every year while waiting in the wings for my cue, I thought of my parents. Without a doubt, this was the most important annual meeting in Starbucks history. I had prepared for the worst, but I had hoped for the best. See, that one little phrase right there, I had prepared for the worst, but I'd hoped for the best. We cannot predict the outcome sometimes. I go by a verse out of the ancient book of wisdom from King Solomon in the Bible, Proverbs, that says a man will make his plans, but God directs his path. Now, although Howard says it a little different, I think it's the same thing. You're going to face the music not knowing what the outcome would be. Wow, was his first words. That was really all I could say. It might have sounded superficial, but it was my gut response to the loud applause and even whistles as I walked soberly to the center of the stage in a dark navy suit and tie. It was nearly impossible to see the entire audience with the bright stage lights. Thank you, I said calmly, shocked as well as relieved. Thank you so very much. I felt myself getting emotional and I tried to quiet the crowd. Wow, I really didn't know what to expect. People laughed, and that's when I knew that Starbucks and I had our shareholder support, at least for the next 2 hours. See, the audience was the participant. They're the ones that allowed him to know the direction. See, I'm a firm believer because I've been a stockholder of Starbucks when it was on the rise. I've been a stockholder of Starbucks when it was in the tank. And now we're seeing a great profit again. See, Howard took a risk for a company that he believed in. Are you willing to take a risk for the company that you believe in? If you've not been with us on all the shows, one of the first things his kids asked him was, Dad, why are you doing this? You don't need to do it. He said, because next to my family, I love this company. One of my sisters over at Real Savvy Success, Donna Valdez, today on her Facebook wall wrote a very, very simple but deep thought. Do you have to be passionate about your company or your product in order to succeed? That's a debatable issue without a doubt, but there's no doubt in my mind that Howard Schultz created a company he believes in. I believe maybe, just maybe, Donna's got a point here because she says her first product that she sold gave you gas and diarrhea. Don't know how passionate you can get about that. Some fiber product. But I do believe that if you're going to launch a company, if you're going to be a diehard true believer in the company, then I believe that you will do a whole lot better if you're passionate about the company and the product than you will if you're just trying to make a sale of a widget. I also own stock in Ford. Ford just released its best ever quarterly earnings in history. We were buying that stock when it was in the bottom. The stock right now is trading at about $16 a share. My average cost per share is $4. We bought it when it was clear down at $1.99. I've driven Fords all my life. I am very passionate about Fords. I'm very passionate about Starbucks coffee. I'm very passionate about the company Ignite 360 in which I market. And I don't market in the field. I'm Senior Vice President of Sales. So I get passionate just like Howard gets passionate. Do you not think that the shareholders of this company were passionate? That's why they showed up. Howard says something in here that I thought was very profound. Listen to this. He says, I'm not quite sure We've even had a meeting like this before. On one hand, you have an economy that's really in a tailspin, and many would say the consumer is in recession. Let me ask you a question right now. In your personal company, are the consumers in a recession? Are your distributors in a recession? If they are, what can you do to transform them and get them passionate again? See, this is very important. If you've listened to us on any of these shows, you know that Howard's foremost focus is the customers, the partners, and then the shareholders. But when he talks to each individual, whether it's customers, partners, or shareholders, he talks to them, not at them. Listen to this. He says, on the other hand, you have the company's performance that has not met your expectations nor mine. And let me say at the outset that I humbly recognize and share both your concern and your disappointment in how the company has performed and how this has affected your investment in Starbucks. And I promise you, this will not stand. See, Howard was able to empathize because he's a major stockholder. He understood their disappointment. He understood their concern, my concern. And he made them a promise, this will not stand. Those are bold words. What kind of promises do you make your team and do you fulfill them? What kind of promises do you make your family and do you fulfill them? What kind of promises do you make your company and do you fulfill them? See, here's the deal. And Howard writes it. Listen to this. There are many challenges inside and outside the company that we have to address. See, I believe in direct selling, there's many challenges inside and outside of our brain, of our own emotional beings, and we need to address those. This cockamamie crap that I see all the time about people just saying, go, 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 do, make it happen, don't ever quit, just keep cranking. You know, here's what you do. Follow the system. That's all said and good, and it's not totally wrong. But it doesn't work if there's something mixed up inside of you. See, unlike Howard, who had years to work through this, had stepped away and saw what was happening and coming back, you and I sometimes don't have that privilege. We got to make a quick move, and we got to move now. But we sit here and maybe you're like me. Maybe you hang out and you go out and you get a cup of coffee and you're watching the dolphins in the harbor and you're saying to yourself, why do I just sometimes keep going around this same mulberry bush? What is it I got to do to get over this? What is it that I got to break out of? What limiting belief do I need to break through? See, that's the key. First, it starts inside of you. Then you've got to look outside. See, if you're asking yourself the wrong questions, why me? Oh, God, why me? Why? That's not what you want to do. How? How can I overcome this? How can I supersede and go around this? How can I dig through this? How can I break through? How can I dig under? What can I learn from this? What am I to learn from this? How can I benefit from this? The mindset, the questions that we ask ourselves are totally different. See, that's the kicker here. The problems are inside and outside. But listen to this. This is good. But we are on it with relentless focus on the customer experience, and doing everything we can to differentiate Starbucks from everyone else attempting to be in the coffee business. Okay, now let's take that sentence, and here's what you should be looking at and saying. On a personal level first, let's look at this. There are many challenges inside and outside of myself that I have to address. And I have a relentless focus to change this and to do everything to be different, to differentiate myself from everyone else that's attempting to succeed in my niche. See, you can say it in any way you want, but you've got to say it in a positive focus. You've got to be driven. Your company should be saying that. If you're a CEO, listen to this right now. You should do the same thing. You should be saying there are many challenges inside and outside of our company that we have to address. But we are on it with relentless focus on the customer, the distributor, the customer experience, the distributor experience, and doing everything we can to differentiate our customer, our company, from every other direct selling company attempting to dominate our niche. See, this is why this book is so good. I don't care if you're in coffee. I don't care if you're in your health and nutrition. I don't care what your company does. If you don't have the commitment to drive the brand will not succeed. If you're looking at it as a part-time endeavor and you give it part-time effort, you're going to get part-time rewards. I don't care if you're the CEO of the freaking company or a distributor in the field. You have to drive it. There has to be a passion behind it. You've got to know that it's going to work. You've got to give it everything that you've got. That's the only way to make it happen. Listen to what he says right here. This is good. We have almost 200,000 partners around the world. They are obviously not all here today, but some of them are. Would the Starbucks partners please stand and be recognized? See, even in the midst of a shareholders meeting, he makes sure that the partners are recognized so the shareholders understand this is where your value comes from. That's powerful, folks. This is what it takes to win and win in a big way. I want you to look at yourselves right now. Howard writes this in this book, and I'm going to bring it home to what we're doing. We are at what historians call an open moment, when societies come together and real change is possible. I want you to think about your direct selling company right now. If you're at an open moment in history, how many different countries, how many different ethnic groups, how many different demographic groups are inside your company? What would happen if you all came together with one passion, one mission, one transformational agenda, and you drove it home? How many lives would be changed from your product, from personal development, financially? See, so much is said in direct selling about lifestyle, but at the end of the day, it's not about lifestyle, it's about life change. Lifestyles come and go. I've seen people throughout my 47 years on this earth, and the lifestyle that they've grown accustomed to has screwed their life up or bettered their life, depending on the situation. Women that I dated as a teen and in my early 20s, who were drop-dead gorgeous women, look like hell on earth because of the lifestyle they chose. I have cousins that could have been models, and now they have no teeth. Lifestyle isn't the answer. Life change. And it starts from the company down, from the distributor up. You can't just be focusing on the things. You've got to be focusing on changing what's inside of you. You can go out there and earn all the money. You can have all the toys. But if you have not changed inside, all that's going to happen is the insecurities or the personal glitches that you have are just going to be exacerbated. You have a moment that you can change the world one person at a time. What are you going to do? Howard said he was going to do this. We're going to protect and preserve our core customers. The cost of losing our core customers and trying to get them back during a down economy will be much greater than the cost of investing in them and trying to keep them. Howard wrote that in this book. This actually came from Jim Seingold, the CEO of Costco. See, Costco put one of the first reward plans together, and Starbucks followed them. How are you rewarding your customers? Kivana, one of the up-and-coming network marketing companies, a couple of years old, they give a free product every 90 days to the customers of theirs that are on auto ship. They send out a free product and say, thank you. We want to show you something new that we're doing. I think that's powerful. I think it's phenomenal. See, if you can't keep your customers, what are you going to do? There's an old saying that it's easier to go find new blood than to raise a dead downline, and I disagree with that. I think if you've got an organization and it seems to be floundering, sure, you may need to get some new leaders if you attracted the wrong people. There's no doubt. But more importantly, maybe you just need to re-energize their why and help them make life change instead of talking about the lifestyle change so much. Maybe it's time that you focused inward and figured out, hey, was I part of the problem? Do I need to change? Sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes, and Howard puts it here, he says, I believe the situation would get worse before it would get better. No one, not the smartest economists or the federal government, could know just how bad the economy would become. I believe the same thing happens to us. Sometimes it's going to hurt before we get better, and I think of the Marine Corps. I went through a heck of a lot of pain in 12 weeks as they tore me down and then built me back up. Our business, our life, everything is the same. You have to dig deep. You got to be passionate. Howard says, some corporations are built or rebuilt on data-driven business plan and hired guns with formulistic strategies. They may succeed, but they lack soul. Starbucks is, by its founding nature, different. There was no doubt that the company had a mature, conducting its global operations with more rigor and discipline, hiring new talent and consulting with outside experts. But for this organization, transformation was not only about tightening the nuts and bolts. If we did not have a conviction in our values and believe that we were really in business of human connection on our farms, in our offices, in our stores, in our communities, then the company was doomed. If your message at your company level is about human connection and you don't believe it in your heart, all you're doing is looking at the numbers, your company will not make it. People will see that you are not walking your walk, and the company will be doomed. You have to preserve your humanity. You've got to fight for your life without losing your soul. You need to craft your own transformational agenda and launch a new mission statement. You need to do this on a personal level. You need to do it on a business level. The time has come for all of us to get in the mud and get our hands very, very dirty. Folks, this book may be about Starbucks, but it's about you and I. It's about the businesses that we're out there marketing. It's about the passion that we have for what we're doing. And if you don't have it at your soul level, you will not make it. We talk all the time. Sometimes we're praising, sometimes we're bitching about Amway as a prime example. But there's a company that for the last 35, 40 years has gone through all kinds of transformations, lost some great leaders and gained some new ones. But they're staying true to the original mission of creating entrepreneurial people in middle America. What's your company doing? What are you doing? Now's the time to figure that out. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here with us tomorrow morning for Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.